is all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. For there is only one way to touch him. Just believe when you call on his name. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters. And then your life will never be same. For there is only one way to touch him.
Only one way.
You just believe when you call on his name.
One more time.
Touching Jesus is all that really matters.
Hallelujah.
And then your life will never be the same. There is only one way to touch him. You just believe when you call on his name.
Amen. It is good to be here one more time. And it's good to have Pastor home.
Yes.
Very happy to see my pastor. Let's sing This World Is Not My Home.
Can I testify real quick? Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to share something because, you know, it is Mother's Day. So I did have a scripture for our mothers here. Something I sent up to my mom, and I just wanted to share it with you guys because I love you all, and you mothers in here are wonderful mothers. We got the best mothers in the house here, and it just needs to be talked about. So Proverbs 31:26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teachings of kindness is on her tongue. And then Proverbs 31:31, honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. Isaiah 66:13, as a mother comforts a child, so will I comfort you. And that's all I wanted to share.
Well, amen. Sing 164, This World Is Not My Home.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home. That's one thing that I know. I've mixed it up with Jesus many years ago. I know he'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Services on Wednesday, you know, application. We get such amazing teaching here.
Yes.
You know, you talk about mothers. We're just what we are because, you know, we get the teaching and you apply it to your home. But you have to apply that teaching.
Yeah.
It does you no good to just come hear it. You have to apply it. And I thank God so much every day that he put something inside of me.
Amen.
You know, I mean, I was just thinking, and I'm a willing vessel. That's just, that's all he wants. He doesn't want my living or my good works. You know, none of that does any good to anybody. It's just being a willing vessel. God had different purposes for different people all throughout the Bible, you know? He has a different purpose for Elise Allen than he has for Riley Allen, you know? And I just want to be here. I want to be a willing willing vessel. I don't want to hold back at all. I just want to give my all, you know? And I just thank God so much. I was so excited to come here. I'm excited to come here every service. You know, we were thinking, Jeremiah and I were talking, it's good to be home, you know? Home on a Sunday with our pastor here.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to hearing some good word, you know.
Yes.
I'm hungry. I'm ready to eat. You know, I thank God for Seth. Seth, you did a great job.
Yes.
You know, you show what it is to be a willing vessel. You know, all God wants is just open your hands
just
and he'll take
up.
Over. You know, none of this is because of what I've done. It's all from him. And I just want to thank
goodness.
God so much, you know, trying not to cry. But I'm so full.
Yeah.
So full. Because how much he's blessed us, you know. A mother is no good without a good husband, you know.
Right.
So for me to be a good mother, I thank my husband. And that's part of being a good mother, is having that balance. A good home is a good husband, a wife who listens to him, and kids who listens to her. It's just a balance, you know. And I thank God for that secret.
Man.
It's not hard. And I get so tired of people acting like it's hard to serve God. It is a blessing that I am so grateful he has given me, you know, to be able to praise him. You know, I'm sorry I'm taking so long. I just love this place. I love God so much. You know, thank you, Jesus, for what you did. for us.
Yes. Amen.
Very thankful for God. He's given so much. He's done so much. He's revealed so much in this day. You know, it takes a press to be a good mother. You know, some of them don't have that press. You see that. They'd rather be doing something else, you know, too many kids. Don't love their kids, you know, wish they was out of the way. Can't wait till they get them out of the way. You know, they get up and babysit her, you know, and they still got to go out and have their life. But I'm thankful, you know, and that's based on the love. You know, if your love's right, your press will be right. You know, you always press towards what you love. And I was thinking this morning that this is a pressing way. You know, you don't fall into this. You don't. There's no welfare around here. You work for what you get. You know, if you're gonna receive anything from God, you'll press for it.
Yeah.
You'll you know, the Bible says effectual and fervent forever, a righteous man availeth much. But even though that man's righteous, he's got to have an effectual, a fervent prayer. You know, it's got to mean everything to him. He's got to press for it. And I was thinking about Brother Branham talking about, you know, that people are satisfied with a substitute, you know, when the sky is full of real. And, you know, there might have been maybe a little excuse in other ages, but in this day, it's so real. It's just so real. You know, and I was talking to my helper the other day. He was driving, and I asked him about, you know, creation. You know, what do you think? Where's all this come from? You know, and I was trying to get him to a point where he get back to, there's got to be a God somewhere, you know, because, you know, a big bang or something crawled out of the ocean and sprouted legs or something, you know. Something, you know, but, you know, where'd the ocean come from? Where'd the thing crawled out of the ocean come from? Where'd the thing that exploded, where'd it come from? Who lit the match, you know? And he finally said, well, I'm agnostic. I don't care. I said, okay. End of conversation. You don't care. You don't care. You got no push. You know, you're willfully ignorant. I was thinking about ignorance this morning. You know, the root word of ignorance is ignore. You know, you got to ignore this.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes an effort either way to run from God or to run to God. It takes an effort.
My goodness,
it really does.
That's right.
And, you know, I'm thankful that I had a push. I'm thankful that I wanted this. Thankful that I had a desire.
Yes.
It meant something
yes,
to
Lord.
Me. Thankful I had a love for the truth. You know, you hold to what you love.
Yes.
You know, if you love football, you know all the stats.
Yep. You
know, I don't love football. I don't know all the stats. But I love the Word of God. I know the Scriptures. I know the quotes.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, even,
I love that.
You know, even when, you know, the Brother Bram said, you find... You're a man,
yeah.
Preaching word upon word. You got to find him. You
got to,
you know, you. It takes a little searching.
Yeah.
You know, knock and you'll find.
Come
you know,
on.
And you know, seek and you'll find.
Right.
Knock and it'll be open unto you. You know, he that hath an ear, you got to listen.
Amen.
You know, there's a pressing way.
Yeah.
And
yes, it is.
You know, today it's just people don't want to do anything. They don't. I mean, you know, I was talking to my daughter this morning about all these vices. It seems like all this younger generation's got to have. They got to have their vaping. They got to have their music. They got to have their cell phone. They got to have their YouTube. They got to, you know, they got to have all this stuff. Got to have their alcohol. You know, they got to have all this stuff. And you sit back and look and say, why? What's that do for you? You know, what's it benefit you? It doesn't benefit you at all. But you know, it's just the spirit of the age, and it's just Satan's distractions. He's the prince of the power of the air. But, you know, I'm thankful for a people that have a press, that have a desire and a longing. You know, we sing that song, and I have a longing for Jesus. You know, to not just sit here and he didn't find me. It's kind of, I was looking for him, and he revealed himself, you know. You know, no man cometh unto the Father by me, but by me, you know. He drew me.
That's right.
But I answered it. You know, he called, and I answered.
Amen.
You know, and I'm thankful for that. You know, I'm thankful for the bride today because she does have a push.
Amen.
And you see that, you know, we were talking about the churches there last week. You know, whether it's South Carolina, whether it's Kentucky, whether it's Bluffton, whether it's any place else you go to, they've all got a push.
Yeah.
You know, they manifest all different ways. You know, every congregation is sovereign in itself, you know. I'm not trying to be like any of them. We're for everyone. You know. They, you know, and they shouldn't try to be like us. We are who
right.
we are, and how God leads us. And it's beautiful that way, and it even goes to individual.
Yeah.
You know, even in an individual, you're sovereign in who you are. You know, God's made you a certain way for a certain purpose, and that, you know, that suits his purpose.
That's right.
And, you know, I can't apologize for being me. I'd be an unbeliever if I did.
Yeah.
I'm me. I'm real good at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm thankful and I'm content.
Yes.
You know, I said a couple weeks ago, just didn't know what else to say, but I'm just content. And I'm thankful for what God has done. I'm full faith assurance that he'll lead every step of the way. And I don't have a fear in the world. Perfect love casts out fear. And I'm thankful to be part of the redeemed. I'm thankful to be part of this body. I'm thankful to be part of that body. I'm thankful to be where I'm at. Now, nothing but just a praise in my heart. How he has led. And how he's made it so simple. You know, people struggle and struggle and struggle, but there's no struggle in me. I'm so thankful. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to let Courtney go because I'm going to. Can I do a song?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Courtney.
I just want to thank God for being here. You know, I was sitting there thinking about what Elise was saying and how being the type of mother that I am is a reflection of the leadership and how James has set up our home, you know. And I know that the world has influences, but even that foundation that James set us, you know, like we taught our kids how to battle those influences of the world and how to just manage and work through that. And I was like, even this congregation is a reflection of the leadership that Pastor Moore has given us, you know, and how strong we are.
Yeah.
And the type of homes that we have, because even when James is not home, you know, it's still my job to make sure I'm the, because that my covenant steps in, right? Then I put my umbrella over the kids,
right.
And I protect my kids, and I have to go through what
that's
I do
right.
with my kids, and I'm just so thankful, and I have to give all the flowers to James because he is who set up our home, you know.
Yeah.
He's who put that word in our home, and he's like, this is what I stand for, and this is what I do, and it's up to me to make sure I put that back into our children, and I'm just so thankful. But James wouldn't be who he is without the leadership, you know, and without the word. And I'm just so thankful, and like at least I'm full, you know, because I look at, you know, friends who we've lost, you know, people who have, even my friends who have never gone to church, you know, I look at their homes and I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, like look at the foundation that you've laid, because me and James talk about it all the time, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're you know, either like we're looking at a different church and we're like, oh my gosh, they're a mess, or we like we look at kids and we're like, why are they a mess? And he's like, well, look at their home, you know, like look at the environment that they're in, right? There's no leadership, you know. And I just thank God for the leadership. And you're right, Elise, it's not difficult. You just got to fall into place, you know. And I'm just thankful for the for God just putting it on me, you know, that I just fall into place.
Amen.
You know, and I know like there's some things that I, you know, I battle, because I used to always battle, like, am I doing it out of the fear of God or the love of God? You know, because that has always, like, and it still sometimes still battles me, and I'm like, am I doing it because I'm afraid? Or am I doing it because I love him, you know? And I do love him, Lord. You know, I love the Lord. I just, you know, those are just things that I mentally go through, because I'm just like, because I've seen people who haven't followed the leadership, and I'm like, ooh, don't want to go down that path, you know? And I'm like, is that why I'm doing it? You know, because I don't want to do it, but, you know, I want to stand. And I say, you know, devil, get behind me.
Testify.
You know, I love this place.
Yes.
I love this message.
Yes.
I'm a believer, and I stand.
Today, I want to thank God. Like they said, there's a song that says, I've been running for Jesus a long time. But, you know, I'm like Sister Courtney testified. I'm doing this out of love. I have not done everything perfect. I beat myself up constantly. Oh, you should have done this. And what I don't do, the devil try to do. But I want to say this morning,
we need a new song.
You don't want
to?
Okay.
Let's do something else.
Okay. That's the leadership. I thank.
You don't want to get in a rut.
I thank God for this man.
I don't want to get in a rut.
Amen.
I thank. Okay.
So
we'll
you
do.
Can sing, but sing something else.
Okay.
Come on, Christy, play something. Do something. Well, listen, I'm sorry. I don't do ruts.
Right.
I thank God for the leadership that I have. I thank God for the ability to listen. I thank God for the ability to obey. I thank God for the knowledge of the Word of God, where it is, and when He speaks, what to do. Oh, you know what? I'll change direction in a second, a hot second. I don't know how to go. He's leading me. So I think, oh, I could not go on enough about the husband that I have, the leadership that he's given me, everything that I have, the clothes I wear, can I testify? The clothes I wear, the food I eat, the car I drive, the revelation I have, everything comes because of that man. A woman is lost without that. And if you don't have a natural one, hallelujah, you can have a spiritual one. So we're going to play it. We're going to do something else. We're going to do, let's do Fill My Cup. Fill me up, Lord, today.
Yes.
Give him a fill my cup. See, I'm not going to come.
Amen.
I'm not going to come to this place, to this revelation,
come on,
in this hour, and have any movement of my body and just sit here. God forbid.
Amen.
So I'm going to do something real quick. I'm going to get out of the way, because I know y'all burning out there, and so I'm burning too. So we're going to do Fill My Cup. I'd rather you have to pull me back than start me up.
Amen. Go ahead and get the kids on.
you made a way. You walked me through the valley, but you never steered me wrong. To lead on, good shepherd, lead me on. See, it's a mighty deep change that you brought me through. See, it's a mighty big mountain. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Yeah, that's my song. Walking with my Father to the great unknown. Lead on, good shepherd. I'll follow all my days. There ain't nothing sweeter than to watch. You walked me through the valley, but you never steered me wrong. Lead on, good shepherd. Lead on, good shepherd. I'll follow all my days. There ain't nothing sweeter to watch you make the way. You walked me through the valley, but you never steered me wrong. Lead on, good shepherd. Lead on, good shepherd. I'll follow all my days. There ain't nothing sweeter. Watch you make a way. You walked me through the valley, but you never steered me wrong. Lead on, good shepherd.
Sing 194 and get him. Yeah, you'll be the last one.
All right. Try to sneak up. I am glad to be here this morning. Amen. I am so glad to be here. I'm so thankful for this place. Amen. I was talking, you know, talk about that application. Yeah. I was thinking about a physical application. You know, we apply for a job. You have to meet some requirements. There's a balance in that. You know, I love the fact that. When you had that requirement, when you had that, you know, you can have faith that I apply for that job, I'm set. I know that I meet those requirements. So when the Satan talks to you, you know what? He said all he asked for was a willing vessel. That's all he asked for. He didn't ask for me to do any good works. Didn't ask for me to build buildings. He didn't put the emphasis on the flesh. He said, I just want a willing vessel. He said, I want you to get out of the way. He said, I want you to have faith in me.
Come on.
You know, those requirements, though, that's because then what happens, he says, well, you're not going to get the job. Well, why wouldn't I? I met all the requirements.
Yeah. Right.
I met all the requirements. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing, though, is you got to know what you're applying for.
Yeah.
It's different. You don't want to just take an application. Another thing about an application, if you don't fill the whole entire application out, you won't get the job.
You don't get nothing.
You got to apply the whole entire thing.
Yeah.
You got to read it.
That's right.
Not only you have to read it, but you have to understand it.
You have to.
You can't just sit there and be like, well, I asked for my name. Well, I know my name. Yeah. I know where my name's at, but I know my address. I know where I live.
Right.
I'm no longer in the seventh day.
No,
I've moved out into the eighth day.
Yeah,
you gotta know what you're applying for. Yeah. You know the thing though is because it's funny because you'll talk yourself out of it. You'll be like, well, you know, I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I didn't.
Come on.
He did.
Yeah.
It's nothing I did. Man. That's the thing though. That's the beautiful thing about a husband is you know. Yeah, he's got it.
Yeah.
He's got it. I'll lean on him. I'll put it on him. Yeah. I'll get myself out of the way. Yeah. You know, if God says I'm more than a conqueror, what else is there to say?
Right.
What else is there to say? If he says that by my stripes I'm healed, what else is there to say?
Amen.
What do you have to add to that?
You don't have
to. If he says that no one else could do it except for a spotless lamb, what else are you going to do? You can't live any better.
Right.
You can't do anything else. No. You can't bring anything else to the table. All he asked was, I just need a vessel.
Yeah.
I want you to get out of the way.
Yeah.
I want to hear where you're coming from.
Yeah.
What have I done for you? What have I done
for
you? I got you up. I brought you here.
Yeah.
To a small group.
What'd you do?
In the middle of Fairborn. Where we were speaking word upon word, lip to ear. You can come in here. You can talk to God every single day.
Amen.
You can touch God.
Yeah.
How many people throughout the ages can say they can actually physically touch God?
Right.
You know, I don't know. But you can talk to him. You can touch him. You can get your answers. You can come in here like, well, Lord, I don't know. And I guarantee you, if you really seek God, you'll leave this place with those answers. You won't come in with the same answers you came in with. You'll leave those concerns. Well, I'm battling this. You know what? I'm not battling no more. Because you know what? He says, I'm more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
He says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
He says, his heaven and hell would pass away before his word passed, you know, before he forsaked his word.
Yeah.
We have promises.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So again, I just so excited to be here. I'm so
Amen.
Thankful for this place. Because you know what? When you start applying that word, when you start like, you know what? Oh, that's right. I forgot what I had applied for.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot that I met those requirements.
That's right.
I forgot that who I am.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that you go back and you talk about David. David didn't say, you know, I need you to give me the job training. I need you to give me the education. Mm-hmm. I need you to teach me. I already had it.
Right.
He said, just restore the joy to me. He said, just let me be excited. Let renew.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it was the first time I saw
yeah.
it. You know, I was thinking about a song. If you don't know the song, you're like, I like those words, but I don't know how to sing it. I don't know how to sing it, but you keep coming. Guess what? You're right. But you can't practice it at home because, you know, they may be A minor at home, but here we might be in B flat.
Oh,
it's important because every That's congregation true. Is
Amen.
Different. We sing the songs
hey.
Different.
Oh.
The leader may sing the song different. That's why it's important to come because
come
you can't even know what you're singing
Live ministry.
Unless you've been here.
Yes.
You're singing about a song like, oh, I like that song. But you know what? That song means something to me.
Yeah.
Why does it mean something? Because I know the words.
Oh, yeah.
I know the words.
Oh, yeah.
You can't even sing the script. You can't sing the songs the same.
Right.
You can't read the scriptures the same. You start seeing yourself in it, and you're like, okay, now it's real.
Yes.
Now
yes.
it's real. So I thank God for a living revelation.
Amen.
That we can come in here. I thank God we're not in a rut. I'm
Amen.
So glad that we're in such a balance that we're not over here like some sort of experimental church
no,
where
right.
it's like, you know, maybe we'll do something different, but we're not so condemned into a box.
Right.
We have freedom. We have so much. I'm thankful for the freedom
because
I love the fact that we get the opportunity to even get up here and express ourselves.
Right.
Because we could just sing songs and get the preacher up and then get out. A lot of churches do that, I guess.
Yes.
So, Lord, I thank you that my husband let me express something. Because if not, I would be out there screaming the aisles too. Because that steam would build up. That steam builds up.
Yeah.
You know, you set a man on fire and tell him to sit down.
That's
he's going to burn up. He's going to, any way he can. He'll run the aisles. He'll roll the aisles. He'll speak in the tongues. He'll do something because it's real to him. If it's real to you, you'll do something with it. You'll apply it. It'll do something for you. But if it's not real to you, you'll just sit there, well, I guess I'll let someone else apply it. It doesn't work if someone else applies it. You have to apply it yourself. Instead, you had to take the blood. It wasn't somebody had to do it by proxy.
Oh, my.
This isn't a proxy kind of revelation.
Right.
This is a revelation where you lay your hands on and say, I believe. You can't believe by proxy. You can't, well, my dad went here. My sister went here.
No.
You had to have a revelation for yourself.
That's right.
My friends went here. Well, guess what? Where are you at now?
Come on.
But, you know, for me and my house.
Yeah.
For me and my house. For that was applied to
Come
this
on.
House. Wasn't anywhere else. That's how real it has to be.
It has
so
to
when
be.
He says, Personal. You know what, nobody else is going to make it, you're like, okay, well, I don't believe that. You know, there's going to be someone else. It's got to be personal.
Yes.
You got to put your stake on it.
That's right.
That's like someone saying, I will take away your house. You ain't taking away my house. I'm going to take your car away. What'd you say? Yeah, good luck.
You're
good
right.
luck. You're going to take away my revelation?
I
good luck. Because once you know what you know, you can't
Good luck.
You can't talk me out of it.
No.
I like what Brother Jeremiah said on Wednesday. He says, they were locked. Death couldn't go in, but I couldn't go out.
Right.
Once those doors were sealed in the ark, I couldn't go back out. You couldn't go back out if you wanted to. You're a prisoner.
Yeah.
You're a prisoner.
Right.
It's not even you at the wheel anymore.
Not even you.
If you're doing it right, you're not
Amen.
Even at the wheel. So, Lord, I thank you for
Woo.
Revelation.
Oh,
I thank
it.
You that you can even hear it, because if it wasn't for God, you'd be no different. But I thank God for an ear.
Yes.
I love the fact that we have the freedom that you can take as much as you want.
Yeah.
You can enjoy this. You can become, you can really,
yeah.
You can burn in here.
Yes.
Or you could just
sit on the sideline.
Kind of smolder, you know, like, oh, hey, man.
Statistic.
Because I know there's believers. It doesn't change the, you know, I'm not going to say that, but you have a choice in this walk.
Oh, yeah.
And what kind of life you want. We can live undefeated, no matter what comes our way. Waterproof.
Yeah.
Or it can be like cardboard in the ring. I don't want to be cardboard in the ring. I don't want to be soppy, wet, just a mess.
Yeah.
But all Lord, thank you for revelation. Thank you that I can just be like, you know what? Even if I can't do it, even if I can't do it, you'll make a way. He always makes a way.
Oh, my goodness.
Just a few quick announcements. Remember, Jada's graduation is May 24th at 4 p.m. That's a Friday. June 1st, the sisters have a fellowship at noon. That's in the back. And then June 8th and 9th, our ministers are going to Elkton. And there's a church camping trip July 20th. So let's sing We Fall Down, page 194. And we'll get him up.
Amen.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. Is the land.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning so grateful for that lamb. Lord, knowing that without you we could do nothing, but through you and with you all things are possible. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here today. I ask you to move everything out of the way, every hindering spirit that might try to hinder your word. Just set it aside. And Father, speak to our hearts this morning and help us, Lord, to look to you for guidance, for direction, for help. For Lord, this isn't about us. It's about you and what you've done. I ask you to bless all those that are here today, those that are listening to this service. Ask you to continue to touch Sister Early and the different ones. And Lord, Trevor, just remember him, Father. And just ask you to be with Brother Jimmy and the different needs there. Father, we ask you to move in our behalf so that we can come back and give the testimony that you once again have made a way. Thank you for this people here, Lord. They're waiting to hear from you. Lord, I'm asking you to move me aside. And Lord, just come amongst us and speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to look and depend on you. Thank you for everything that you've done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you want to turn with your Bibles before you sit down, we want to read over in Exodus chapter 12. I want to go back over there where Seth was on Wednesday night and appreciate him stepping up. Exodus chapter 12, we're going to start with verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the purulence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain unto the morning. And that which remaineth of it unto the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both men and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I wanted to title this message this morning, Let the Death Angel Pass. And I wanted to first wish you all Mother's Happy Mother's Day. Before I mess everything up, you know me. Let me transition to Mother's Day, because everybody's waiting to hear your Mother's Day greetings. Happy Mother's Day. And the thing about you mothers, it's not just you mothers who have babies. as mothers who want to be mothers, as mothers who can't have kids but are mothers. And so happy Mother's Day to you all. You know, I noticed they were giving out flowers. You could have given them out to all the sisters because they're mothers, not mothers. And they're thank you for, probably Jay. I don't know who did it. Jonathan, you the man. Let me shake your hand. I thought that was your daddy. Now, see, I was giving credit to the wrong person. I'm glad I said that. I walked up and said, there's Jay at it again. But Jonathan is a son of Jay. He takes after his father. Because that's what Jay, he's like that too. And I'm glad to see that. So thank you for those roses. And it's good to see our young people thinking about other people. So, because we can be very selfish and not even consider each other. But that makes a parent proud when the child takes on that role. But I wanted to say that, and I was gone, and appreciate everyone who went with us to Bluffton last weekend. We had a great time there. Good services there. And I appreciated Wednesday night service. I got to hear Seth and Jeremiah. And you know, Jeremiah's an old head. He just rolls over everything, and he's good. But for Seth to get up and to talk and edify the body, I appreciated that. And that's where I got this thought from, because I was listening to the service, and usually the way that we get our messages is we listen to what God is talking about, and we talk about what God's talking about. So I noticed Seth went over there Wednesday night, and he hit the scriptures, and I said, there's so much meat in there, that there's so many types and shadows. And I thought about it all week, and I thought, I just want to take them and maybe run through them. And I know this is Mother's Day, and we're not having services this evening, so in one sense, that's good. I can take my time, but I need to get y'all out in time to get to the restaurants before the church people get out. No, I know that everybody's taking their mom and their wives out to dinner today, and so I want to be respectful of that, and just want to wish you all a happy Mother's Day. And for the you mothers who don't have husbands at home, you got a man. You coming to the house of God are giving you all the instructions that you need to raise your kids in the admonition of the Lord. So don't feel bad about, oh, I don't have a man. You do. I'm your man. And, you know, and Christ Jesus is your man. So you got enough manpower to raise your kids and give them what they need, even if you have to do it by yourself. Same with your brothers. If you say, well, I don't have a wife. Well, you know, the instructions that we give here is gender neutral. It'll help anybody in any situation and in any home. So nobody should be sitting here feeling bad about, oh, I don't have. Oh, you do have. You have more than what you even know what to do with. And we've all been blessed. The husbands, the wives, the children are even blessed. And, you know, the singles, the married, the divorced, the those who have lost their loved ones, deceased, and so we're all blessed. And the instruction is the same for all of us. So you don't have to feel like you're left out. And when we get to Father's Day, don't you sisters put your lip out and feel like, you brothers got it made. So, you know, we're all in this thing together. It's called a body ministry. And that's, I appreciate it, Brother Seth, getting up and speaking. And you might say, well, why are you getting these brothers up? Well, you know, you're not getting up. Somebody's got to get up. So don't complain about who's getting up. So, no, you know, you never know. God might raise somebody up from among the brothers. And that's what I pray that he does. Because you know what? If there's a church of tomorrow, it won't be me. It'll be you and the younger brothers. So that's the way a church grows and keeps alive. If you never get the youth behind you to start acting and working and doing and taking the load on, then your church dies. And so you can't expect that all this old people who've been here since 1980 to do it all the way through. We got to turn it over so that the younger people who have a zeal for God, not just anybody, but somebody who has a zeal for God, you want them to take the load. I'm so glad to hear that was Jonathan, because that means that's the youth doing something. And that's what this thing is all about, you know. And the young people that are here don't feel like you can't do anything. You can add a little bit of something, your flavor, to the services. Now, I gave Dwayne last Saturday the painting that Alyssa did. Last weekend, I gave it to him, and I said, put this back in your Sunday school. That's a little bit of a flavor that adds to the congregation. So every bit of that adds up. You say, well, I'm not old enough, I can't do. You have something that you can give. God didn't call anybody that he can't get something out of. He'll use whatever you have. So for a few minutes today, I want to, and I might run through this pretty quick, because I want to hit all these scriptures, because every one of these scriptures has a type and a shadow in it. Every one of them. And I wanted us to take a look at it, because Exodus 12 told the whole story. And just jump down to verse 3. It says, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th month, take to them every man a lamb according to the house of his fathers, a lamb for a house. Now, I was thinking about this lamb, and it's only one lamb, only one real lamb. Now, they did in the Old Testament. You got to remember, the Old Testaments are types and shadows. What Moses did was only a shadow for us, to give us an example. So what they did with this lamb in type is what we should be doing with the lamb in reality. And that lamb is Jesus Christ himself. Amen. He was the only one who was worthy to take and do the sacrifice. He was the only one that was spotless. He was the only one without blemish. He's the only one. That's why I don't care how much God you get, you can never get around Jesus Christ. Amen. You can never say, well, I've got so much salvation and so much God that I'm doing this myself. Outside of the blood of the lamb, you have nothing. You can live as good as you want. You can act as nice as you want. You can clean up your act. You can dress right. You can talk right. You can live right. But without the blood of Jesus Christ, you have nothing. And so that lamb is important to talk about, because that lamb is where it all starts. If you can't find out that Jesus Christ died for your sins, then you have nothing. And that comes by faith. It's not done because we find some bone buried somewhere or some evidence. You will never find physically evidence of Jesus Christ dying for your sin. They got the Shroud of Turin? They got all these little trinkets and all this stuff they say they have that proves that Jesus died. That ain't proof. The proof of it is that I believe it. And belief is the one thing that everybody can't have. It's hard for people who can't believe to believe. Right. I mean, they'll try to figure it out. They'll try to work it out. And a lot of times people try to mentally figure this message out or figure the Word of God out. But you can't figure this thing out mentally. You will not get educated enough to realize that Jesus died for your sins. Only way that's ever going to happen is that you believe it. Remember the disciples when Jesus came through the wall? Jesus came through, had holes in his hand, hole in his side, walked through the wall. And old doubting Thomas and them were sitting there, and they said, oh, Lord, now we believe. Jesus said, that ain't even important. It's not a big deal that you stuck your fingers in my side. It's not a big deal that you saw me walk through the wall. It's not even a big deal that you physically saw me. Blessed is he that have not seen and yet believe. See, what we need to understand is this whole Bible is built around faith. It's all built around faith. You're not going to put your hand on it. You're not going to get to the place where you know enough to say, this is right. You are going to have faith. You're going to have to believe in something that you don't see. You're going to have to believe in something that you weren't there to hear or know.
You're going to have to believe in a God that you don't even understand. Because his ways are past finding out. You'll never get enough education on this Bible to say, okay, now I understand and now I believe. Matter of fact, the more education you get, Brother Branham said, the farther away from the word you get. So for you to even believe that there is a lamb, you have to have faith. You weren't there. You weren't there 2,000 years ago to know that Jesus really did go to Calvary. You read about it and you believe it because you've heard it and something registered on the inside of you. That's where it really hits home, is when it's the word of God registering in you. And you got to have that for yourself. I can't give that to you. I can't believe for you. I can't teach you how to believe, how to have a revelation. It's all done by faith. The only way you're going to get it is by faith. You say, well, I want to study this out. You'll never study it out. So there was a lamb. And that lamb had to be put up. That lamb was the only thing that God was going to accept for the sacrifice. And in John chapter 1, verse 35 and 36, it says again, the next day John stood and the two disciples, he was out there at the river getting ready to baptize. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Amen. The Lamb. How did John know that? By revelation. How do you know that? By revelation. You know it the same way John knew it. God's got to personally point him out to you. You don't even know that Jesus is the Christ, except by the Holy Ghost. If God doesn't show this to you, you'll never get it. That's what's so beautiful about it, is that the believers believe it not because they see it, but because they don't see it. We're sitting here by faith, by revelation, eating the word of God, enjoying something that the rest of the world don't understand. It looks crazy for us to come in here and sit in a bunch of seats looking at one man and have one man talk back to you and tell you about something that happened 6,000, 2,000, 4,000 years ago. And then you build your life around that. It seems crazy, but because you have faith. It's not you have faith in me. I'm just a man like you are. But because you believe that that's God, because you believe God's talking through his word, because you believe the Bible is the unadulterated word of God, because you believe. See, belief is what it's all about. I'll never be able to convince you that this is right. I cannot convince you that God is real. I cannot convince you what turns me on, what brings me to the house, what takes me and turns me inside out when I hear the word of God going. You say, well, why is that? What is that doing? What's going on in there? I don't know. All I know is I hear the word of God and it registers inside of me. And when it registers, then I got to act on it. The rest of the world looks at it and turns their back and turns their nose and they don't think nothing of it. But I laid everything else aside and said, this is the sacrifice. This is the Lamb of God. Amen. The only thing that God will accept is his own blood. He's not accepting your goodness, your good living, your niceness, your kindness. You say, well, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't run around, I don't do anything bad. I'm a good man. So was the rich young ruler. He said, I've done all these things from my youth. And he said, but yet you lack one thing. See, every man lacks one thing. You might get a lot of things right, but there's one thing you lack. You are going to need the blood of Jesus just like everybody else. You'll never get good enough to not need the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll never get good enough to not to look to Calvary for your salvation. You'll never know enough. You'll never straighten your life up enough that you know you don't need Jesus Christ's blood. Because without the blood of Christ, there is no remission, no removal of sin. And it's all done by faith. How do you know that your sins are washed away? By faith. I believe it. How do you know that God's forgiven you? I believe it. How do you know there is a God? I believe it. How do you know God's real? I believe it. The key thing is having faith. Not knowledge. Sometimes we want to know it all, but you're never going to know it all. You'll never know it all. But here this lamb, he was a lamb, and John pointed him out and said, behold the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
He's here to take away the sins of the world. Brother Branham said, over in verse 4, back up just over in Exodus again, it says, if the household be too small for a lamb, let him take his neighbor. You know what I was thinking? We're always concentrating on the fact that the firstborn was going to die. But it wasn't the firstborn that God was dealing with. He was bringing faith to the whole house.
Right, yeah.
The requirements that God required wasn't just the blood over the door. We think the blood of Jesus Christ died for my sin, so that's it. But no, 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 there's other things that had to happen. We forget about what was going on inside the house. Because there's a lot of things going on the outside, but God was doing some stuff on the inside as well. And he involved the entire household. That's why you bring your kids to church.
Amen.
That's why you come to church and don't leave your kids at home and your family at home. You come because it involves the whole household.
Right.
God's not just saving the firstborn. He's saving the whole house.
Amen.
Think it's important to come? Yes, it's important. Think it's important to bring your family? Yes, it's important. Do you realize without this word that we're receiving today, your kids will grow up in a generation where the world will overrun them. They've been bombarded with Laodicea everywhere they go. Age of equal rights, everybody's got rights. And nobody realizes anymore that there's an order to God's rights. And the only place you're going to get is here. Because it's old-fashioned to have a husband as the head of the house. It's old-fashioned for a wife to come submissive to her husband. It's old-fashioned for kids to have to obey their parents. It's old-fashioned to spank them anymore. It's old-fashioned. And then what they do is they end up raising up a bunch of kids that nobody can control. And those kids become the leaders. That's why the world's in a condition now. Because in the 60s, they forgot to spank their kids. Now they're running the country. Now they're running the world. And so somebody has got to teach a balance to your family.
Amen.
And the only place you're going to get it is you're not going to get it on TV. You're not going to get it at the supermarket. You're not going to get it at school. You're not going to get it at the community center. You say, well, I want my kids to be in sports because that's going to teach them. You'll teach your kids more here than they'll learn there.
Amen.
And I'm not against sports. But I'm saying your priorities have to be what's going to help my family. And when God dealt with Israel then, he was not only dealing with the firstborn, he was dealing with the whole house.
Amen.
It's important to have a family unit together.
Amen.
It's important to have a husband and wife and kids. It's important to have a head and somebody that's going to follow you. Everybody can't lead.
No.
Can't have two heads in a household. If you got two heads, you got two minds. You got two minds, you got two directions. You got two directions, you separate.
Amen. That's the truth.
Amen. So God's got a way to do everything. He's got a way to guide the home. Do you realize the man is the head of the home and he's there watching spirits?
Yeah.
I couldn't get up here and sing that song this morning. It's like, no, I can't do it. You said, well, you're just being moody. No, I don't like to get in a rut.
Right.
You sing a song, you sing it, and you sing it, and sing it, and after a while, it's a rut.
Right.
I'd rather come with something new.
Amen.
You know, I got a whole big old book. There it is. Oh, book! I have a whole book of songs.
Uh-huh.
Some of those things I haven't sang in 20, 30 years. Right. Why? Not because they're open. No, I like something fresh.
Right.
I like fresh manna. I like fresh food. I like fresh word. I like fresh. That's why I like the y'all bringing new songs. You sung leaders should be digging songs out.
Right.
You should be finding things because that's your job.
Right.
Don't bring me the same old rugged cross. I mean, I love the rugged cross and I sing the rugged cross and we sing that, but you know, we're not going to sing it every week. But keep it fresh, keep it new. Fresh manna. We like fresh food. I'm not going to come and give y'all a message. You know, some preachers, all they have is 52 messages.
That's right.
And every Sunday, the first Sunday of the month of the year, they preach that message. And they'll preach those 52 messages. And when they get to Sunday of the next year, you know what they do? Go back to that message one and start preaching that same message. I'm sorry, I don't do that. I don't believe, I don't like old manna. Fresh kill, fresh manna. So it says, every household will eat according to the number that's in this household. You all have to eat. You all have to take part. It's not just daddies. It's not just mamas. It's the whole family. Get your kids to Sunday school. Get them in there because you know what they're going to do? They're going to teach them. They're going to teach them things that they're not going to learn in school. And it gets them involved, being a part of. And it's important. I love my kids. I wanted them to know about God. I wanted them to be a part of this thing. And the thing is, if you don't, then you're opening them up to all kinds. Something's going to write on that canvas. Something's going to write on the canvas. It's going to be either you and your mind and your belief and your faith, or it's going to be the world and whatever they want to put on it. You're going to have to eat everywhere. John 6 and 51 says, Jesus told him, he says, I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. How do you know that? By faith. And he's not talking about natural life, because most people that ate that bread died physically. But they're not dead, because the soul doesn't die. How do you know that? By faith. By faith we believe. By faith we heard. By faith, you know Hebrews 11. The Jews therefore strove amongst themselves, saying, see, they just, it's a mess. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. You got to eat the word, and you got to have the spirit. The life comes through the blood. The bread, his flesh, is the word. So you got to have the word to even begin with. If you're not in a place that's preaching it word upon word, then you need to get there. Because that's the only time he's obligated to anoint that word. Now, he'll anoint your flesh. He'll anoint your house. He'll do that. He does it all the time. The rain falls on the just and unjust. But the thing is, we're not trying to just do it to do it. Amen. We're not just trying to do numbers and just go through the rituals. Right. And do, we want the anointing of God. Yeah. We want the real live anointing of God. We want to know that God is in this place.
Amen.
That's what we want. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. Hath. Not going to get it. So you don't come here to get eternal life. You don't come here to eat his flesh and say, well, I'm going to come to church and eat his flesh, then I'm going to get eternal life. No, your eternal life is going to drive you here. Your eternal life is going to pull you here, because everybody that's eternal will believe God. No ifs, ands, or buts. You say, well, I don't know about what, no, you know, eternal life, because that's God's own life. And if God's life is in you, you will believe God. Period. It's not even an if, ands, or buts. You will believe God. You will come to the word. You will obey his word. You will be the word of the God for the hour that you're living. You will do it. Despite yourself, all your problems, all your shortcomings, all your troubles, you're going to do what God wants you to do anyway. You say, well, what happened to free moral agent? You lost that at your new birth. Your new birth brought you an end to your choosing. The new birth brought an end to your life. The new birth brought an end to your wishes and what you want to do. It's no longer I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. Not now, it's not my life anymore. And I want to go and do what he wants me to do. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Both ways. I'm in him, and he's in me. We came out of him. We're part of God. We come from his side. Amen. The water, blood, remember when it was on Calvary? Yeah. And they got ready to kill him. Right. And they poked him with a sword. Right. Out of his side first came water. Yeah. Yeah. Then came blood. Yeah. Then he gave up the ghost. Then came the life. Right. And those three things in that order to get out of him is the same three things that God requires to get in him. It takes water. You must be washed by the washing of the word, but it takes a water baptism too, showing an outward appearance of an inward word. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ to pay for your sins, to put the blood over your doorpost, and then the life of Christ comes and lives within you. And when all three of those things happen to you, you go back into Christ where you come from. And nobody can do that but the children of God. Amen. Nobody can go back into Christ than he that come out of Christ. You cannot be born again if you're not a part of God. I don't care how much you want it. I don't care how much you crave it. I don't care how much you desire it. You cannot go into Christ unless you come out of him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by my Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Your life becomes the living word of God. Everything you do besides just dying, everything you do while you're living is all his. It's no more I. It's no, you can't just get up and go. You just can't get up and move. You can't just go work anywhere. You can't just go live anywhere. You have to consult him on everything. You become a prisoner. Some of us don't want to be a prisoner. But you got to be a prisoner. You got to surrender everything. You say, I don't understand everything. You don't have to understand everything. A prisoner don't have to understand everything that God's telling him to do. He just does it. Right. I'm sure that him saying, okay, take these 200 rocks and move them over there. That prisoner's like, well, can you explain to me why I have to move these 200 rocks? If you can give me a good reason, no. I ain't even talking to you anymore. I told you, when I come back, they better be done. And you have to move them, and you're like, why is he having me move them? Then you get all 200 over here, and he comes back, and he says, you know what I want you to do? I want you to take these 200 rocks and move them over there. You don't have no choice. Mike, when you're a prisoner, you don't have a choice, do you? Because if you don't do it, then you'll wish you had done it. That's a prisoner. That's a prisoner. Some of us don't want to be prisoners. But you're not a prisoner until you give your heart to Christ. Amen. But then you become a prisoner to him, and then whatever he wants, you want. Amen. And matter of fact, whatever he wants, even if you don't want it.
Amen. You're right about it.
That's a prisoner. Amen. We think this because we think we come to Christ and it all becomes, ha-ha, it's mine to do, and I'm just going to be happy. And no. You got to die to yourself. Amen. You got to die to your wants. You got to die to your thinking. You got to lay all that down because you're a prisoner now. Your life belongs to him. Your life represents him. And when people look at you, what should they see? Him.
Amen.
Now this lamb in verse 5 says, your lamb shall be without blemish. Number one, he's got to be without a spot, without a blemish. And it has to be a male. God's very particular about what he asked for. It's got to be a lamb. And the reason they call it a lamb less than a year, you know, I looked it up. A lamb is a year or less. Young lamb. And I thought, well, it has to be young. And I looked up the word lamb. It typically symbolizes sacrificial animal, gentleness, meekness, and purity. That's that. That's why God wanted a young lamb. He wanted a young lamb that represented what Jesus was going to represent when he got here on earth. He was innocent. He wasn't guilty of sin. Matter of fact, he's the only man that didn't have sin. A young sheep, especially one less than a year old. That's why God's very particular in what he chooses. If he chose you, he is very particular. Yeah. He wants something out of you that he can't get out of anybody else. And you think, well, me? I ain't nobody. But he's got you tweaked such a way that what you're going to fulfill is something that nobody else in this church can do. That's why you got to realize that you belong to him. And when he says, testify, testify. When he says, sing, sing. When he says, whatever, whatever. Whatever God wants, he wants. Because nobody else can do it like you. He's very particular about his body. He's very particular about who he chooses. And if he chooses you, he has a specific work for you to do. He chose down through the ages a specific man with a specific makeup to do a specific job. And if he did that for the ages, how much more did he do for you? You're in 1744 Superior Avenue for a reason. You didn't just happen to come in here. God brought you here. God raised you here. God made this place just for you, and he made you just for this place. And you have something to give back to him just like he has something to give back to you. He'll come and give you the word, and you'll love it. But in loving the word, he turns around and says, now you give me something. I want your life. I want to walk in you. I want to talk to you. I want to be in you. But Jesus was that specific lamb. He was that spotless lamb. This lamb was first a spotless lamb. The Bible says that he was a spotless lamb. And that lamb could not depend upon its own travel. A lamb had to be led or guided or shepherded. Remember how Jesus said, son does nothing? His whole life it was led. Your whole life you have been led. But the thing is, you thought you had it all yourself. You thought you decided. You thought you'd done this and you thought you've done that. And you even thought that you decided to come to church here. But you didn't. You were led. Sheep are led. You wouldn't even know how to find God in this world if you were looking for him. Without him bringing you here, you'd have never found him. Didn't even know he existed like he does. I didn't know that God could be so real that you could talk to him and walk up to him and shake his hand. I didn't know God was going to be so real that he could reveal the whole entire Bible to me. I didn't know God was the kind of God. I thought God was going to have you speak in tongues and have you live a good, clean life and do all that. But God can get so real to you that he can walk up next to you and sit down next to you. That's how real God is in this place. God walks with us. He talks with us. He's doing all this stuff through our bodies. And Brother Branham said, now notice, he said that lamb was Christ in the figurative form. Or do I say, he said Christ was a lamb. He was to be a male, the first from the old mother ewe, whichever one you choose to call it, it must be her first. And he must be tested first to see if there is a blemish on him. Now, Christ was tested. Y'all don't want to be tested. He was the first one tested. You are going to be tested. Your home's going to be tested. Your own life's going to, you'll be talking to yourself. That's like Courtney said. She said, devil talks to her and tells her, am I doing this for me? Am I doing this because I'm scared of God? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You got word for that. But see, Satan tries to play with this. He tries to, but you're being tested when he does that. You're being tested and tried. But what you have to do is put the word on him. Not trying to battle him on his own turf, because Satan will use, he'll use your own life. He'll use anything he can to try to make you feel like, oh, I'm not sure. He'll use your own thinking. He'll use your own walk. He'll use what other people's walks are. He'll use everything in his son. Oh, Brother Don lives better than me. Maybe I'm not really one of them. Don does a better job than me. He'll use Don on you. He'll use yourself on you. You know what you did yesterday. You were awful. You know what you thought yesterday. That was bad. He'll use all of that. The only way to combat him is to use the word of God on him, just like the first limb did. He got a hold of Jesus after fasting for 40 days, and Jesus was hungry. It wasn't something spiritual. It was natural. He was a hungry man, hadn't eaten, hadn't drank, hadn't done nothing, and was up there on the hill, and the first thing the devil would offer him was bread. The one thing that Jesus was thinking about. Man, it would be good to have a loaf of that bread while we're fasting. And but that's the devil for you. That's the way he works. If you think that you're not sure about God, that's the devil. Throw your faith out there. If you think you're not living good enough, that's the devil. Put the word on him. If you think you're not good as somebody else, that's the devil. He's trying to separate you from God, and he'll use your own thinking to do that. But the only way to defeat him is not to get a bunch of information together, not to gather a bunch of proof, because you'll never have enough to go to court with him. You'll never win a case with him. But you got to put Jesus Christ back on him. You got to tell him it is written. No matter how I feel, it's written. No matter what I see, it's written. No matter what people say, it's written. That's the only way to defeat that devil. When he tells you you don't have faith, you tell him faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It is written. That's how you shut the devil up. You're not going to shut him up with facts and fiction and trying to produce something and tell him something. You're not going to have enough information that you're going to outnumber the devil's proof. Don't go to court with him. You'll lose. Now, Christ was tested. The lamb first from his mother. He said, but when he fled up against Christ, he said, he hit Moses and he fell. But when he flew up against Christ and tried to quote the scripture to him wrong, he found out that it wasn't Moses, see? He was tested. He turned around and he said, if thou be the Son of God. Now, they tell me you perform miracles. And they tell me that you're the Messiah to do that. Now, if it is, you're hungry. You haven't eaten. Turn these breads into, or these stones into bread and eat. And he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Your creed, so forth. But what? Every word. A part of the word? Every word. See, you got to take the whole book. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what man lives by, see? The lamb was tested. See, if there's anywhere he could have fallen. That's the same way he does us. God's going to let the devil test you. He's not afraid of test. But what you got to do. And I'm not saying what you may do, what you have to do. If you don't do this, you will fall on your face. A son of God could fall on his face if he doesn't do this. If you don't put the word, not your thinking, put the word back on him, the devil's going to run you around in circles. He'll make you feel like you don't have it. He'll make you feel like an unbeliever. He'll make you feel like God don't exist. He'll make you feel like all kind of things. But you have to, you must put the word back on him. Right. Nothing else will do it. Right. Not how good you feel. Right. On your good days, I praise God, I'm a believer. On your bad days, well, I don't know if I'm one of them. You got to put all that away. You got to use the one tool that God gave us, the word. And when you use the word of God on Satan, it'll fix your house. It'll fix your home. It'll fix your job. It'll fix yourself. Amen. I have to put the word on myself. Amen. Because when I try to deny myself, I say, but I love God. Like Courtney said, I love God. That's what she put on the devil. When he said, oh, what do you? Are you just doing this? No, I actually love God. Amen. And he actually loves me. And I am in him. and he is in me. So you have all kind of scriptures to use on the devil. You don't have to sit there and let him knock you around. It is written. It is written. It is written. That's why he gave us the book. That's the only hope we have. You're strong. You say, I'm going to arm wrestle the devil. He'll whip you. I'm going to put proof out there and show the devil that I'm a son of God. You can't throw enough proof out there, because every evidence you have, he's got something better. You put out there, I'm a son of God. I went to church Sunday. He said, but what'd you do Saturday night? Okay. I'm going to serve God on Monday. But yeah, you know what you got planned this afternoon. See, you ain't tricking the devil. He doesn't know what you're saying and what you're doing until after you do it. But he can go back and tell you what you've done. That's why I always talking about, if you ever think about it, he never gets you about what you, he never condemns you about where you're going. You know why? He doesn't know. He don't know. But he always talks about, oh, you know what you did last week. Oh, you know what you did yesterday. Oh, you know what you thought this morning. He's always looking back, because he has no future. He's not a prophet. He's a false prophet, if anything. But he don't know the future. So the devil will never tell you about where you're going. He always talks about what you did. That's how I can always tell when I find the devil on somebody. They always try to accuse me of what I did. I'm like, that's the devil. Say, so, but I'm your brother. You're the devil. I put that under the blood, and you're going to bring it out? It's on your hands. God's going to hold you accountable for it, not me, because mine is in the sea of forgetfulness. And where mine went, God can't even find. And if you bring up what I've done and you hold it over my head and always, every time it comes up, you're the devil. Amen. Let's just say you're acting like the devil. You're letting the devil use you, because anytime I've done something, made a mistake, had a problem, and you come up, Jeremiah comes up, hey, Brother Nate, hey, remember when you were 24 and you, so you know that? Yeah, I know about that. Well, I gave that to God. I put it under the blood. God don't even say, how you looking at it? Husband and wives do that all the time. Y'all snatch stuff out from under the blood in a minute. Come on. I know I ain't talking to strangers here. Y'all will pull stuff out in a minute. But if you really forgive your mate, if you really forgive your mate, then you never bring it up again. And if you bring it up again, then you just, let me tell you a little secret. You never forgave him.
Amen.
He said, well, I've been bringing this up all the time. You never forgave him. What do I need to do about it? Forgive him. How long does it take? Nothing. You know what? You can walk out of here today a forgiving, loving saint of God. Walk out of here and never bring it up again. And the next time you and your mate have an argument and they're getting ready to get in that stance because they know it's coming, and it doesn't come, they're like, what's going to happen is a sanctified wife sanctifies her husband.
That's right.
And a sanctified husband sanctifies his wife. And he'll put that under the blood, and she'll put it in her blood. And you know what? Y'all have a better, your arguments will be shorter. Your home will be better. Your life will be happier. And you'll serve God together. Why wouldn't anybody want that? You know, I think people bring things back up because they just like the feel of making you pay. Making me pay, it's under the blood. There's therefore now no condemnation. Bring it up all you want. I'll even agree with you. Yeah, I did. Don't you feel bad? No. Oh, that'll make him. No. No, I don't feel bad. Why don't you feel bad? You think it was a good. No, it wasn't a good thing. It was awful. But you know, the blood of Jesus Christ covered that. Matter of fact, what are you doing with your hand in that dish? why are you messing around with that? Forgiveness He said, well, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget. You can't forget because the devil's going to always remind you. Told you he's the author of hindsight. He wants to keep up with everything that you've done. So he's going to come and say, remember what he did? Remember what she did? Remember what he did? Remember what she did? As long as you got that going, all you're doing is batting in the wind because it ain't going nowhere. If God's forgive him, you're just wasting time. It never did do it in the first place. True justification. Never did do it in the first place. But sometimes we forget that. But that lamb was tested. He paid the price. You will be tested. And the way that you defeat the devil is the same way that Jesus did. You aren't going to do any better than Jesus. You say, oh, I'll wait. I know you won't. You aren't going to do any better than Jesus. And Jesus put the word on him. And you have to put the word on him. When he brings you that, you know what? I'm going to tell you what. Let me give you an example. This just happened to me. This happened to me. You're a preacher, and so you're a pastor, though. Let me tell you what happened to me. I won't say the names to protect the innocents, but I had somebody who wanted to see me, and the devil was like, ooh, this, ooh, that, ooh, this, all that. And I was like, Satan, you're a liar. Satan, this, no, ain't them. I had to fight him out of my head. And it had nothing to do with nothing. But the devil was trying to work something up with me. And if he does it with me, I know he will do it with you. I mean, he has a hard time with me. And if you don't know the word, or if you aren't used to throwing the word at him, and you just accept what he says, it's like, oh, okay, Satan, you're right. If that's all you're used to, you're failing your test. Because you can be stronger than that. You can be stronger than that. You don't have to let the devil defeat you. You don't have to argue. You don't have to fuss. You don't have to argue in your mind. Amen. It is written. Amen. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. You got to put the devil in his place. Because he became sin. That I could become him. Hebrews 7:26. God became from God to become me. This is what Brother Branham said. To take my sin upon him that he might make me him. Amen. Back to his great purpose of sons and daughters of God. For he's the eternal Father. The attributes were in him so that they had to be displayed. We had to be displayed. We were in him. We come from him. We're part of him. Remember, that whole deal with the token and the blood over the door, all those things were types for what Jesus Christ was going to do for us, that we would not have to sit in sin. And even the 14 days, it says over there, it says, and you shall keep it up 14 day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill in it in the evening. You know, I thought about that, and I thought, you know what Israel did? The whole congregation did. They killed him. They said, let his blood be upon us. And they're still today fighting. He was put up. Brother Branham said, the lamb was tested. And was kept up for 14 days. That was two Sabbaths, or two ages. One for the Jews, which is offering the lamb in type, and one for the Gentiles, who had the real lamb. And all of them were made perfect by believing this lamb would come. But he was tempted or examined 14 days. He was the Word. Jesus Christ came to pay the price for us. He was put up, they in type, the 7 days of the Old Testament. But the 14 days included the New Testament bride. And all of this is sitting right there in Exodus when you're looking and reading, and all we read is blood over the door. And God was in there telling us his whole plan of redemption right there in front of our eyes. And it says the Old Testament, we in type for the Jews, he put that blood, sprinkled it in type. But he had 7 days for the Gentiles. That was our salvation coming through Jesus Christ. Oh, that's over the doorpost. Oh, that's talking over there in Genesis when he's talking about take that limb and put it up and do all the things that he said to do. That was amazing to me. And that first crucifixion was crucified Jesus. But Brother Branham told us there was a second crucifixion in this day that they crucified the Word of God to themselves. And it became a none effect to them. So remember, all of this was in preparation to be able to avoid that death angel that was going to come through the Lamb. In type, that death angel was coming. And the whole house had to be involved, not just the firstborn. If all the other kids in the house sitting there watching the firstborn run around like crazy, getting a lamb, cooking it, trying to eat it all, and trying to get everything ready, Daddy check the door, check the blood, and all the other kids sitting there like, it ain't me. Glad I'm not firstborn. But what you got to understand is we all were the firstborn. Because you were born in sin. That was your first birth. You were the firstborn. And you sitting back acting like you don't have nothing to do. You were the one that should be running around here eating all the meat and eating everything you can and putting the blood over the door. Because it was your sin that made you the firstborn. And you didn't have to do nothing. The firstborn didn't have to do nothing to be the firstborn. He didn't have to arm wrestle his brothers. He just was firstborn. And you didn't have to do nothing to be the firstborn. You were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. That's why you must be born again. Amen. There was nothing you could do for yourself. And that firstborn was, or he was going to die no matter what. He really was. It was not going to did. He was not going to make it no matter what he did. I'm just going to jump on down here. Now, the entrance of the house. It's funny because I was looking at this, and this was exciting to me because I never thought about this until I read it. Remember over in verse 7 it says, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two posts and on the upper door post of the house, where they shall eat it." Now I was thinking about that door. So why the door? Why was that so important? Well, the doorway was the way to get into the house. This is a house. So there's a doorway. There's a way to get in here. And I never thought about this until I read this last night. Turn over to John chapter 10, and we're going to read verse 1 and verse 2. That gave me a whole new meaning of that. Because I started thinking about door. And listen to what Jesus said. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." That's the devil. That's your first birth. That's the fall in the garden. He's talking about how the devil got in. He didn't come in the door. He came in like a thief. He came in the back way. You didn't even know he was there. He's a thief and a robber. And he didn't come in the doorway. He didn't even use the door. He came in another way. How did the devil get in you? He didn't come in by the door. Because at the door, you invite him in. That's the way God wanted to come. He wanted you to invite him in. But you didn't invite the devil in. He was there from the beginning. He snuck in through the back door. He came in through sex. And here he is there. And Jesus said, everyone that doesn't come in by the door is a thief and a robber. That's all the devil is. And I thought, he was talking about the devil. He knew that he was a thief. He knew he was a robber. And he knew he got in the wrong way. The devil got into you the wrong way. He didn't come into the door. Somebody that knocks on your door and you open the door and let them in. That's one thing. Somebody sneaking through an open window and cut the screen in a back bedroom. That's something else. He said, but he that enter in by the door is the sheep of the sheep, the shepherd of the sheep. He knows that when he comes, he's going to come right to the door. He's going to open, he's going to knock on the door, and you have to open it and let him in. He's not going to force himself through like the devil, like the thief. He's not going to sneak in. He wants you to open it. He wants you to want him to come in. He wants you to invite him in. And when you invite him in, he's going to come in. He'll sup with you.
Right. Yeah.
You don't sit down with a thief. Man's in there stealing your jewels, and you're going to say, hey, I'm just having dinner. You want to sit down? Stay a while? No, you're going to pick up a shotgun and try to run him out of there. But if you invite somebody in and he comes in through the door, then that's why the door lintel was so important, because he knew that he was going to use that to get back into mankind.
Yes.
Satan entered in another way. He said he stands at the door and knocks. Revelations 3 and 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, see, you gotta know he's there, number one. You gotta have an ear to hear, number one. You gotta be able to hear that voice of God. And then when you hear that voice and you hear him knocking at your door, then you gotta do something about it. You can't just sit down and say, well, somebody's at the door. No, he is not gonna kick the door down. You gotta want him. You gotta desire him. You gotta crave him. You want to be his friend. You want to invite him in. I stand at the door knocking. If a man hear my voice, you got to have an ear. Not just anybody can invite Jesus Christ in. That's why it's not so easy to just throw chairs out here and say, won't you come? Won't you come? This ain't the way to get in. You get into Christ by getting into his word. And you get into his word by getting into Christ. He and you and him. He's going to come and he's knocking on your door. He'll come to this church. And he'll walk these aisles, and he'll talk to you. But you know what? You don't have to open your door. You can sit there. You can act like it's not for you. You can listen to the devil's lie. But all you got to do, it's easy to open the door. All you got to say, Lord, I know that's you out there talking to me. Lord, I know you want to come in. Lord, I don't need to go home without you one more day. I don't need to keep my door all locked up and keep you locked out and keep my little things to myself. But let me open the door. Let you come in. When you come in, you can do whatever you want in my house. I laugh all the time. Me and Dwayne laugh. Dwayne came over to my house one time, and me and Clarice thought we did something cute. We took and, can I tell that, Dwayne? I forgot to ask first. It was a long time ago. Let me preface it. Me and Clarice would put these, you know, we put our little green antique chairs in front of a fireplace. Looked really nice. And a little coffee table between it, facing the fireplace. Well, Dwayne comes over, and he thought I forgot to put the furniture back. He start moving chairs around. Took my chair, slid it back over against the wall, slid the other chair. I said, Dwayne, we did that on purpose. But see, when you invite somebody into your house, they can come in and do whatever. They can come and move your furniture. And, you know, he said, it looks better over there. And, you know, but that's what Jesus wants to do to you. He wants you to open the door. He wants you to invite him in. And when you invite him in, then he can do what he wants. He can clean the house. He can take furniture out that he don't like. He can move stuff in that he wants in there. But he comes in through the door. He's not sneaking in. He's not coming in by night and moving your furniture around. You got to invite him in. You got to let him in. You got to want him in. That's why the token was applied to the house. The token was not applied to the people in the house. I was thinking about that. I said, the token wasn't applied to the firstborn. The token was applied to the house.
Amen.
The house. And we're going to read it, but the house where you live.
Yeah.
Do you realize that your new soul doesn't need redeemed? Your new soul is God. What needed redemption was that seed that was buried in your house. And God had to pay the price for that seed, because remember, that seed was eternal anyway. The house was a holdup. The thief had gotten in there and wrecked the house. And God had to come in, knock on the door. You had to open a door. And when he got in, then he could fix the whole thing up. But redemption needed to be applied to the house. Salvation is applied to your old nature. Amen. And to your old spirit and to your old house. That's where salvation, your salvation is not to your new nature, because your new nature is God himself. And God doesn't need redeemed. God doesn't need to have repent for anything. He doesn't repent. That's why the bride is not going to the judgment, because she has passed from death unto life.
Amen.
She's already moved out of there. God's moved into the house. God put the token on the door to take care of the house.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
I'm going to just jump on down. I really want to see where he said about the house, because I just want to read where he said that about the token, put it on the door. I think further on down, but I'm just going to jump because I want to read. I just want to read the way that he worded it. Verse 13. And the blood, thank you, shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. You're in there. He's taking care of this old nature. He's taking care of your old house. That's why we got to get a new body, new spirit, and new soul, because all three were wrong. The devil messed you up at birth, and God had to have a replacement for them all. But in the bride, he put a little germ seed of himself in there. And when he got rid of your old soul, he got rid of the worst part of you. And now it's not you now. The one that's living in there isn't that old nature. Because the old nature that living in the rest of those houses, they didn't put the token over the door. And without the token, you perished. So, just jumping on down here. Verse 9. Eat not of it raw, nor soften it at all with water. Don't water it down. But roast it with fire. His head and his legs, and with the furnace there. It's all got to be burnt by fire. And don't let anybody water it down. We're in an hour where they have watered down the Word of God so bad, they've taken the masculinity out of the Bible. They've taken the masculinity out of the church. They've taken the masculinity out of the home. Nobody, they used to try to say it was 50-50. It ain't 50-50, it's 100%. And they think that just giving in or watering it down or making the church so bring you coffee, and I shouldn't tell y'all what they do because y'all might go there. They bring you coffee, put you on soft seats, put you on cushions. Sometimes they have theater seats. Sometimes and then they have the praise dancers. They ain't led by the Holy Ghost. They got dancers doing all, and it's not, I'm all for Holy Ghost dancing. I do it myself. But when you go home or you come to the church and you practice on Tuesday, and then you get there on Sunday and you all practice, all five of y'all have practiced your Holy Ghost dance, and it's called praise dancing. They got all kind of gimmicks to get your attention. We don't have those gimmicks. It's rough as a cob around here.
Right.
Come in here, sit on hard benches. You better be glad we're not down the valley. When we were down there, we had heat on the head, feet was freezing, homemade benches, little closed up place, and it was rough. Carpet was glued down, and there was no pad. At least we got pad in the aisles. But they made it. They watered this thing down. They don't have a real revelation. Amen. Churches have made it so that it's just a place to a social gathering. Brother Branham called them lodges. It's people of like faith that want to believe the same thing. They just come together and they pat each other on the back and they make each other feel well. And when they walk out the door, nobody feels convicted at all. Oh, I want you to walk out of here convicted. I want you to walk out of here feel like, Lord, I can do better. Lord, I can do a better job than this. I let you down yesterday, but today I'm doing different. Lord, I held grudges, but as of right now, I'm never going to do it again. I want you to feel that conviction. I want you to see the Holy Ghost move in this place so that when you walk out of here, you're a better person. Not because you live better, because you believe better, and you stand on the Word of God over top of everything else. A stronger Christian or believer of the Word of God. That's what I want out of you. I ain't serving you no coffee. I can do it. We got it back there. I ain't serving you no coffee. I'm not padding your benches. I'm not bringing somebody up here to try to usher you around and make you feel welcome and make you feel comfortable. I want you to feel the Holy Ghost moving through this place. I want God to talk to you, and I want you to walk out of here with God, not just some good feeling. So don't water it down. If it ain't right, it ain't right. If it's not right, if it's me not right, it's not right. That's why when I got up to sing, I said, that just don't even feel right. I don't want to just do it just to do it. I'm not here for form and fashion. I'm not here to try to put on a performance. I'm here for the Holy Ghost to move in this place. And if God's not moving, I don't want to move. Don't water it down. Don't try to make me feel comfortable about myself. I want us to feel uncomfortable. I want us to feel like we can do better. I want us to feel like, God, I can move it up a little bit. That's what the Holy Ghost is. This is the house of correction. If you don't get corrected, you're in the wrong place. But when you come to the house of God, God should talk to you, and God should tell you something that's going to make you take another step forward. Don't let me come here and preach a little gospel that's going to make you feel good. I don't want to water it down for you. I don't want to make you feel comfortable. I want to take all the feathers out. I want all the thorns to stick up. I want the eagles to fly. I'm not just trying to water this down to make you feel good. I want you to feel convicted. I'm not saying condemned. I don't want you to feel condemned. Condemnation only makes you feel bad about yourself. But when you're convicted, you're looking good about yourself, saying, oh, Lord, I can do this. This ain't that hard, Courtney says. This ain't that hard. All you got to do is believe God. All you got to do is just lay in his arms and let him have you. That's all he wants from you. He's not going to fight you for it. He's going to knock on your door and you have to open it, because he's not one to stay outside. He wants to come in you.
Amen.
He wants to be a part of you.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Out of season. Reprove. Rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Put doctrine on you. We got doctrine here. Brother Chill said, I'm a doctrine preacher. Well, I can tell you, I'm a doctrine preacher. I know the doctrine. I got the doctrine. I preach the doctrine. I teach the doctrine. We got it here. We're not just trying to get you here for numbers. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and now is, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. They tell them what they want to hear. They don't tell them what they need to hear. They tell them what they want to hear. And the reason they do that is because they want to keep you. I don't care if you walk out and not come back. It hurts my heart. Every time somebody leaves, it breaks my heart. But I'm obligated to tell you the truth. I'm obligated to preach the word. I'm obligated to feed the bride of Jesus Christ. I'm obligated to bring doctrine. Reprove and rebuke. I do it. I do it so much, y'all don't even think none of it. It happens right in front of your eyes. A lot of people would say, ooh, I wouldn't do that. Our church is like, here he goes. It's time. Time. We got to have some more rebuke because God wants you right. He don't want no milky, wishy-washy Christian. He wants a strong man. He wants a strong woman, somebody that believes this report and will take it like he serves it and not try to milk it down and water it down, but give it to me like you got it, Lord. Give it to me like you got it, Lord. I can take it because I am a believer. Oh, we got it so strong around here. People don't even understand how hard we are. They come and they'll preach something that they think is harming. That the best you got? They're hiding behind the pulpit saying, oh, I guess it's in shape. Now say it. We want to hear it. We want the best you got, and we have more than that. Don't water this thing down. Don't try to soft soap it for me to make me feel good. Make me feel bad. Tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me what I need to do right. Tell me where I need to change. This is the house of correction. It still is the house of correction. It always will be the house of correction. If God's there, as long as God's in the house, there will be correction. A church without correction, God is not even there. For the time will come where they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They have fables, these churches out here, they have fables. All they talk about is Jesus dying on the cross. He did more than die on the cross. He got off that cross. He come up here and he come back and he got in his believers. He built the seven-age church and now he's down here again in his bride. Oh, they don't want to hear that. That's too much God for them. They don't mind God up here somewhere. But when you put him in a shirt and a pair of pants, when you put him right in your face and tell him, you can't even get to God unless you come through me. When you tell him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, they don't like that. That's too tough for them. But the outside of the bride of Jesus Christ, you have no God.
That's it.
You got to go home with him. Open up the door. Invite him in. Don't sit here and be tossed back and forth. Is it right? Is it not? Is it right? Is it right? Open your door and let him in. Let him all in. Let him all in every room. Don't just put him in the living room. A lot of times people just put him in the living room. They don't. That's the one room they cleaned up for him. But they don't want him in the kitchen. They don't want him in the bedroom. They don't want him in every other room. And they'll clean the living room. They'll clean the bathroom because they thought he may go to the bathroom. But they ain't touch the rest of the house. But God wants your whole house. He wants to be able to walk in anywhere he wants to go. He don't want to be confined to your Sundays and Wednesdays. He wants your Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays too. He wants every part of you. So as he knocks here today, he's got the blood on the doorpost today, if you want it.
Amen.
If you want it. But you know what? There are people that say, I don't want to mess up. I just put that up. I don't want to put that old blood on my doorpost. We'll pass. You know what? If they pass, they died. You can't mess around with God and get away with it. You know what? You're in a dangerous situation now because you've already been given instructions. You've already been told to put the blood over your door. You've already been told to do it. And now it's up to you. Am I going to do it or not? You got to want to, because you know what? He's not coming like a thief. Not that way. He'll come and get us like a thief, but he's not coming into your heart like a thief. He's going to come into your heart because you invite him in. He's worse than a vampire. You got to invite him in. Let him into your heart. Let him into your life. Let him into every room in that heart. Every room in your life. And don't hide nothing from him.
Amen.
And when he says, get rid of that couch, then don't fight. Just get rid of it. When he says, move that chair over to that wall, Don't fight Dwayne. Just move the chair. That's what you let him in. You said, Jesus, you can have me.
That's right.
Jesus, you can. What we do is we say, Jesus, you can have everything, but then we start shutting down rooms, locking doors. Oh, I don't want you. Oh, Lord, that's my favorite hobby. Oh, I can't give that up. Oh, I want to hold on to that. Oh, that's my girlfriend. Oh, church, you can't have her. Oh, Lord, this is my trick. Oh, no. Open every door. Open every room. Open your whole family up to him. Let him have it all. It's his anyway. So much over that doorpost. Now, if I come, Brother Branham said, with a message of Pentecost, I would be in the latest in church age. And it wouldn't be right. They say we're in a Pentecostal age. We are not in a Pentecostal church age. Brother Branham said we are in a Pentecostal church age. It wouldn't be right. You are not in a Pentecostal church age. We've come out of denomination. We've come out of Pentecost. We've come out of the ages. We've come out of the churches. It's over. We're in the bright age now, the eighth day. That's the reason that Wesley could not take Luther's message. Luther was in one age, his church age, and Wesley was in another church age. If Jesus would have come with the message of Moses, it wouldn't have not have worked. If Moses would have come with the message of Noah, it would not have worked. But God has allotted to his people of every age a scripture. And before the age can come into existence, into time, then the church has got to get so mixed up that they don't know where they're at. And that's exactly where we're at today. Church couldn't help you if they wanted. They don't know how to get to heaven. They don't even know how to get along here on earth. And here they are, they're so mixed up, and only the bride has the answer. Only the bride has the balance. Only the bride has the truth. And everybody else is mixed up. We know this word is go try by fire. Verse 10. And you shall let nothing of it remain until morning. And that which remaineth of it unto the morning, you shall burn with fire. You know, what some of y'all don't even know is that when we do communion with unleavened bread. Well, that unleavened bread is used for that service. And what y'all don't understand, don't know, we have a passer. We pass it off to Don. And Don takes that home, burns it. Really? Didn't know that. You didn't need to know that. Huh? Every year. It's been doing this for as long as I can remember. 40-something years. He said, wow, I just took communion and I passed the bread and I never even thought what happened to it. Burn it. And you know, it's the type of the manna. When Moses had the children of Israel out there, you couldn't just have manna left over from another church, another age. You couldn't just take Luther's message, Wesley's message. It all had to burn at that day. And see, this manna that we have here, this is fresh manna. The reason this manna stays fresh is because we have entered into the holies of holies. And we've gotten into the ark. And the bread in the ark never aged. That's what happened in the eighth day. We moved out of time, and we moved into holies of holies, moved into where the Ark of the Covenant is, and we're eating bread now that's been 40-plus years, 60, 70 years, whatever it's been, and we're eating this, and it's just as fresh as it was when Brother Branham first preached it. It's not gotten old. Brother Branham said a revival normally lasts for 3 years. Here we are 60-plus years. I don't know. Don knows the number. See, I knew you knew. 61 years. And it's just as I'm so turned on right now, I don't know what to do with myself. Amen. 60 years of eating this thing. 60 years of fresh manna. It's not gotten old. We've moved out of days. Brother Branham said, no more seven, no more threes, no more. We've moved out of time, and we've moved into eternity. That's why what we're eating will never get old, because this thing is eternal. Amen. They only had bread for one day. But now we're eating a bread that's lasting and lasting and lasting. We have that bread. And Jesus knew about it. And Moses had that bread, and he fed it to the children of Israel in type. But remember, all of that was just in type. Here we are in the reality of it now. We're eating this thing, and it's turning us on. It's not turning me off. You say, well, I'm bored. Are you in eternity? Do you know I get caught up in eternity every service? When that word comes forth, and I get in that atmosphere, oh, my goodness. It just time flies. I get in a hurry because, like, it's 12 o'clock. I get out of time, and I get caught up in it. But that's the way the whole body is. We're all caught up in the eighth day. We're all caught up in eternity. If you're sitting there trying to see if the line's going to be long at Golden Corral, and you want to try to hurry this service up so you can get to that line before the church people get there, then you're not caught up in eternity. You're worried about time. You're still looking at time and days and numbers and people. But if you can ever get a taste of eternity, if you can ever get beyond that veil, move into that holies of holies, you'll get in there and don't want to come out. When Brother Branham was caught up in the Lord's day, he didn't want to come back home. He had a wife. He had kids. He had family. He had church. He had a ministry. But he got over there and wanted to stay. He said, no, Brother Branham, you got to go back. And when I get into eternity, I don't want to come back. I don't want to come back. And one day, like Brother Spivey says, one of these days we'll realize that we don't have to be here anymore. One of these days we'll realize we are those children of Thessalonians chapter 4. Those that are alive and remain. Oh, that's me. Those that are alive and remain won't hinder them, and they won't hinder me, because we're looking for the same. This year I'm really honing in on the fact that what we're calling for is the exact same thing that they're calling for on the other side. We're not having different conversations. Luther was calling for justification. Wesley was calling for sanctification. Pentecostal were calling for the gifts. And when at the restoration of the word and the opening of the seven seals, all of the curtains fell between all those ages. And they all got in one mind and one accord. And they all started looking at each other and said, oh, Luther, you were there. And Luther's like, Wesley. And they all got together. And then here comes Earl Childers. Oh, church, let me tell y'all how close we are now. Let me tell you what we're preaching. I knew about the opening of the seals. I preached it to my church. I gave it to Brother Nate, and I told him, if I don't get it changed, I'm dependent on you. So he knows what I need. He knows what we need. And they're over there saying, we need a glorified body. Even in a theophany, they don't even want to be satisfied. They are calling for a glorified body. We are calling for a glorified body. The entire bride, those above earth, in earth, and on the earth are all saying the same thing. God is fulfilling his word. He's fulfilling his word. But listen to verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Here we are. We're ready. The bride has made herself ready. We're dressed. Fully clothed. I got the full armor of Christ. I'm not going to read it because I'm running out of time. But we are fully dressed. Amen. We got the breastplate. We got the sword. We got the helmet. She has done this. The bride has built herself right to a body that's standing on her feet now and knows what it is. We got our garment on. We are fully prepared. We're dressed. We're eating this manna like this. He can come any day now. He can come any hour now. He can come any moment now. He said, eat it in haste. Don't let anything. Don't say, well, I'll think about it. I'll think about it. I'll put it off to maybe next week. Maybe next week I'll give my heart. Maybe next week I'll open the door. Don't do that. Eat it in haste. Brother Branham said, the bride will turn quickly to the word. When the word comes forth, we receive it. Just as fast as it comes. Soon as, sometimes Jay says, I say amen before it's even preached. Amen. That's where we're at. This bride is at a point now. We're not wrestling doctrine. We're not fighting and fussing over doctrine. We have made ourselves ready. We know what it is. We're on our feet. We know they're talking about the same thing we're talking about. Oh, we're eating this thing in haste. And when is next service? What you got to? What are you going to preach? What you going to preach now? Oh, I lead it. I lead it. Jeremiah and Jay, they get nervous between the preaching because I'll hit some subject, and if they're not careful, I'll move on before they get a chance to say something. They're like, give us a day. Give us a time. Why? In haste. This thing is moving fast. It's moving faster than you may even realize. God is moving us forward, and this bride don't have time to sit back and play with the locks on your door to see if you want to let Jesus in. You better let him in. You better open up your heart and let him have your entire life, because no matter how long your life is, it's short compared to what he's got in store for us. Oh, I'm only 40 years old. I'm only 30 years old. I'm only 12 years old. Give him your life. You may not only have to the end of the year. You don't know what God's going to do. When God's clock strikes and it's done, it's done. There's a group of people who didn't have their oil in their lamps. They weren't ready. They weren't washing. They weren't eating in haste. They took their time. They thought just because they cleaned up their lamps and they cleaned up their life and they made themselves ready and was a good-looking Christian and a virgin and set themselves aside for God, they thought that was enough, but they never opened the door for him. They never let him into the house. And when he did come, only ones that went were the ones that he had oil in them. Don't sit here and toss yourself back and forth over it's right or not, if it's God or not. If God be God, serve him. Okay. Verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both men and beasts. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. All the gods of Egypt, the Catholic gods, the Protestant gods, the Baptist gods, Pentecostal God. Anything's a God that you put above him. That's your God. Sometimes your job is your God. You put that ahead of God. Sometimes your family's your God. People leave the church because of their family. Oh, I've got to keep my family together. Your family's already apart. You ain't holding your family together. God's the one who holds your family together, not you. You'll sell out God for your loved ones. You sell out God for a little bit of trinket, a little gold, a little something, better job. Oh, Pastor, I got to move to Oklahoma because I got a better job there. And God's telling you to do this. Well, I feel led. Is there a church there? I don't know. All right. Good luck with that. Brother Chills used to always say, a man could. When he said a man could, you shouldn't. God will judge by his word, Brother Branham said. Now, God is going to have to judge the world by some standard someday. Now, if he's going to judge it by the standard of the Roman church tells us, if the church of the church, then which church is it? There are some 900 different denominations. Which one? Which is it? The Baptist says that they're the standard. The Pentecostal says theirs. The Catholic says theirs. To me, neither one of them. The word is the truth. Whosoever shall take one word from this or add one word to it, the same shall be taken from his part out of the book of life. See, the word of God, God will judge the man by. He's going to judge by the word of God. But he told us over here in verse 13, this is why I wanted to go over this, because there was so much meat. I thought, my goodness. Verse 13, and when I see the blood, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, not the house, but where you live in. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you.
to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Token is defined as a thing serving as a visible or tangible representation of a fact. That's pretty good. A fact is God lives here. They put the token over the door on the post to show I have faith in God. I believe God's word. Now remember, God's word came through Moses. They weren't sitting there with the Bibles. They heard the prophet. And when they heard the prophet said, put the blood on the door. This is what God said do. And they put it on there to show that I believe God. That's what the token is to show. I believe God. And you didn't have to go inside. You could see it from the outside. Oh, I'll do what I want. I can be what I want. I can. I'm my own man. I'm this. No. No, I should be able to see the token. I should be able to see the token applied to you. I don't need to go inside of you to find out what's in there. If I see the blood, I know who you are. Oh, that death angel is the same angel that's the life angel. That life-giving angel and a death angel. Do you know the same water that saved Noah killed the rest? The same fire that burns out your old nature is the same fire that's going to get rid of all the unbelievers. God ain't picking up something new. He's using the same. That same angel that's the death angel is the same angel that's the life angel. It gave death to some and life to others. But you had to put that token on display. We need to see your token. You say, I'm ashamed. You're ashamed of me. I'll be ashamed of you. Now, listen to what Brother Brown said, because I got to close here. Death struck Egypt. He was going to kill everything in Egypt. Now, remember, when the boils were breaking out, when the fire was falling, and when the rains come and hail come, God provided a place for his elect not to go into that. He had a place called Goshen. Now, there was coming a spirit of death upon the land, and every man, remember, death is the reason we die. We all have that on us. That's on the land now. Death is the reason we die. And Israel had to have something to keep them from dying, or death would have struck them too. Because the wages of sin is death. And Israel had sinned. And God, so that they would not die, his people who were trying to follow him, he provided a lamb and a blood over the door that protected the firstborn. God's provided way. While Egypt thought that they could shut themselves in around all the great theologians and witch doctors and whatsoever they had, and death angel swept right in over top of that because it was without blood. And any religion today that hasn't got the blood life of Jesus Christ behind it, the death angel is on it. Right. The death angel separated from God. Yes, indeedy. Ichabod is written on every bit of that that hasn't got the blood. And you got to remember, church, the blood was only sprinkled 7 times. And you had to be under that messenger to receive that sprinkle. Well, they don't want our messenger. So they don't get that blood on their doorpost. And when the death angel comes through the land, and he's here today, they will fall with the rest of the people. Even going to church, even being kind to their neighbors, even doing all these things. But because they're not under the blood, they will have to be killed with everybody else and go to the judgment to find out where they missed it. You've got to be born again, and you can only be born by the word of the hour that you're living in. And if you're not born by the word of the hour, you're not born.
That's why when I first came to message, they were trying to say, oh, I was born in 1950. I was born in 1956. And I knew myself being a young little guy, I didn't say nothing. I thought, that ain't adding up. Because my pastor told me that the angel came down in 1963. And the opening of the seals brought the new birth. The token applied to this age was the new birth after the opening of the seals. So if you're telling me you were born again before the seals, then you need to die because your age is in the ground. You're late. But in the hour that we're living in, you must be born of the word of the hour. And the word of the hour will put you under the blood. The blood will cover you because you're born under that messenger. That's all we got. But that death angel is in the land. And he's doing damage. And he's taking people out of here. And they don't even want to even stop to even think that maybe, just maybe, they need to do something different. Now listen, Brother Brennan, I'm going to close. I think this is the one I want. No, this is down here. Yeah, I'm skipping some. That death angel, letting pass. Now, here's what Brother Branham said in the token. He said, watch. See, the believing worshiper was identified with his sacrifice by the token. The worshiper who believed Jehovah and had met Jehovah's requirement had identified himself by applying the token to himself and his house. That worshiper believed that. A perfect type of Christ of this church. Then the blood was a token of the identification that this believer has already met Jehovah's requirements. See, the requirements were happening inside. It wasn't the token that was required. There was a whole lot more than the token required. They had to have a lamb. They had to eat the meat. They had to do all these things. They had to eat it in haste. They had to be ready for the journey. That all this was happening in the house. They weren't taking the word so lightly. They were serious about it. And the token being displayed only showed that the rest of the requirements were met inside. A perfect type of Christ today. Then the blood was a token of identification that the believer had already met Jehovah's requirements. And I am sure the death angel will come and pass from my house because I met Jehovah's token. A lamb had died instead of my family and my loved ones that's under the blood. And there is a token that the lamb is dead. Amen. There is the token. God's requirements has been satisfied. Amen. When I think of it, my heart jumps for joy. When I think of it, my heart jumps for joy. To know that the price has been paid, I am putting the token on display in my life. And when you see the token, that's not all you understand about me. You understand that I'm eating of that manna. You understand that my whole family is under my token. You understand that my whole family is involved in this whole sacrifice. That token displaying is showing you that I'm eating in haste, that I'm ready for the body change, that I am dressed and ready for the journey even now. That's what that token is showing. It's not just showing the blood over the door. I have met all the requirements is what the token says. And if I don't see the token, then you have not met all the requirements. You say, well, I'm going anyway. You're not going. That the token is your protection. And without the token showing that all the other requirements, have you been baptized? Have you repented? Have you been baptized? Have you received the Holy Ghost? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?
Amen.
Have you eaten of that manna? Do you eat every word that proceeded out of the mouth? All of that's going on inside the house.
Amen.
That's all going on inside the house. But on the outside, all you see is the token. All you see is the blood stain, but the blood over me shows that the price has been paid and everything that's happening on the inside of me is because God has already took care of those requirements. I met his requirements and he met mine. Let the death angel pass. Death angel's not going to hit us because we got the token over the door. There's my family, my loved ones, everything on the inside is already taken care of. The requirements that he had for the token has been met. Now let the death angel come if it wants. I don't have to fear it. I don't have to worry about it. Because he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. My Lord. That's our Savior. That's our Redeemer. That's why you got to be born again. That's why you got to eat this word. That's why you can't take it lightly. It's got to be your life. Not just a one day, oh, I'll put the blood over the door today. No, it's your life. You get in that house and you get that house ready for him, because he's going to come knocking. And when he knocks, he's going to tell you what he wants, what he don't want. And then you need to do everything that his word requires, because that's the hidden manna that's going to give you what you need. And when God sees that requirement met, then that blood will go over your doorpost. You don't put it over there. That's your seal. That's your seal. That's your third pull. That's your understanding. And when he sees that, when you get that, all the requirements met on the inside, you know who puts the blood on the door? He does. And when you meet all his requirements, he comes by your house. And he'll put it on your doorpost, on the lintel, on the other post. And then when the death angel comes by, he'll see Ted and say, oh, he's protected. He's under the blood. What an hour we're living in. What an hour we're living in. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this afternoon. Thank you for the blood that you applied on our houses. Thank you for us taking it serious and putting it on our lintels and putting it on our doorsteps. And Lord, we've eaten of the lamb. We've eaten it all. We let none of it waste. And we ate it with the hyssop and the manna. And Lord, we've taken every bit of it in. And we met every requirement that you ask us to meet. And Lord, now this little bride is standing here totally free from condemnation. Not condemned to death, but Lord, we've already passed from death into life. And we're standing here fully persuaded that, Lord, when you come through this land and destroy the rest of the world, then when Egypt gets their destruction, Lord, I'll be fine in Goshen. I'll have light when they have darkness. I have food when they're starving. Lord, I have blood over my door when they have none over there. My loved ones and my friends and my family will be safe when theirs will be dying and perishing because they have no love for the truth. And this is all done by faith, all done by revelation. And I thank you for this, Lord. Thank you for this price that you and you alone have paid. Bless us. Bless every mother here. Bless the congregation as we go our separate ways, Lord. Just be with us today. Let us enjoy today. But let us never forget that, Lord, that blood is applied because we've done the work on the inside. And we've done all that we're supposed to do, and you've done the rest. Thank you, Father, for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. That song, I don't know. I don't know if it's in the book or what. It's When I See the Blood. Page 94, 34. Amen. We're going to sing that as we close. That song's just on my mind. Page 34. Amen. Any only belief? Amen. God bless you. Don't forget, there's no service this evening. And we'll come back on Wednesday night. And you see, you never know. Seth got up Wednesday night. And he said what he did. Wouldn't have dreamed I'd come back on Sunday. And go right back to where you were. But you had so much in there, and I thought, Lord, help us to see all of these things. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That death angel ain't going to get us. We're safe in his arms. Amen. Christ, our Redeemer, died on the cross. Died for a sinner, paid all his dues.
your soul with the blood of the Lamb. And I will pass over you. Of sinners, chiefest of sinners, Jesus will save. All he had promised, that will he do. Wash in the fountain open for sin, and I will pass. Over you, oh, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I oh, see the blood, see the blood, I will pass. I will pass over you. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. All will be there. Each one receiving justly his due. Hide in the saving. I will pass over you. Oh, great compassion. Yes, oh, great compassion. Oh, boundless love. Oh, living kindness, faithful and true. Find peace and shelter. Over you, yes, when I